Growing up green and wild, I was one of the original sons of liberty, y'all. Now I'm a free man, nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, 'cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I won't compromise with tyranny. I won't tolerate attacks upon my cup of tea, 'cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. I said nobody better tread on me. I learned to fight in the War of Independence, where I defended the rights of all of my descendants. I finally earned my wings to fly on that famous 4th of July, when I proved to the world that I could make a difference. Was temporarily defeated in the Southland when them federal boys invaded God's grace land. And since the war between the states, they tried to keep us all federal slaves. But you know me and the Lord in the South, we're gonna rise again, friend. 'Cause I'm a free man, nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, 'cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I won't compromise with tyranny. I won't tolerate no statutory slavery, 'cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better tread on me. It's time we see that the enemy's within us. And even right today, they're trying to Washington deceive us. They thought they had us all surrounded up in that there Montana township, but all they did was create a couple more million of us. Yes, I'm a free man, nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, 'cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I ain't liable for, no subject to, no regulated by internal revenue, 'cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me, because the Lord, you see, he set me free. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. To be a free man, nobody better tread on me. I said nobody better tread on me.
And good morning, folks. It's coffee time here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, and we are coming to you live this morning, August 10th, 2024, and it looks like we've got Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And we've got Josh on the line. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And, Paul, we'd like you to start us off with a word of prayer this morning.
Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of God on this opportunity to broadcast the good news, the hope that you have given us, Lord, and that we have to stand on, especially in these days, Lord. It may not sound like words of hope, but, Lord, your word is iron. It's a rock to which to stand on. We pray that we can exhibit that to the people that listen to us, Lord, and that we would, that our faith is in you, and you control all things, Lord, and we control our words and make sure what goes out is to your benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul.
Amen.
Well, what's on your mind this morning, Josh?
Sitting there looking at a very pretty live oak tree and thinking about the scripture, you know, and where seeds are sown and the different kinds of soil and, you know, what keeps that tree upright during the stormy weather, whenever the wind's blowing on it and rain's beating on it, is the root structure of that foundation that it's got. And, you know, just exactly what Paul praying right, you know, right then. We got to be rooted in Christ. We got to, you know, spend every day being mindful, you know, thinking about everything that you're doing. And are you living the way that you should be living, or are you not? Are you learning? Are you growing? Or are you not? You know, that's what we need to be doing right now is sinking those roots in. And, you know, same thing when the droughts hit, you know, if they don't have a good root structure, buy them, you know, whenever things get thin. And, you know, to be able to keep the tree healthy, the same thing with us. The scripture tells us how you can learn to prosper when you got a lot, but then also you can learn to prosper and be thankful when you don't have a lot, because, you know, there's going to be those times and those trials and tribulations. And whenever they come, that's when a lot of people fall away, because they're not rooted in the word. They don't have a relationship with God, and they don't understand his promises to us, that he will keep his word if we just do what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm not saying there's never a time where it's just a instant, like a flash of lightning thing, and you're there, you know, but most of us don't get that. I guess we're probably not bright enough, you know, but it's something that we got to grow over time to get there. And that's what was on my mind whenever you asked, so I told you.
Well, I'm glad you did. You know, I think that, I mean, and that's like what you said, it's cause and effect in so many ways. And I think about that a lot. You know, how if we just do what we are told and are obedient, and those obedient servants, then, you know, we really shouldn't have a care in the world, because he's going to take care of us.
And how many scriptures do you know of that are telling you how easy it's going to be? You know, and there won't be any. Won't be any work. There won't be anything that you got to do. You just, you know, hop on that escalator and he's going to take you to the top. That's not the way it works.
It's not the way it works, no. But it's a way that a lot of these people make you believe that it's going to work.
Well, if it's not happening for you, then you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. The deceitfulness of riches is a real deal, you know, because this financial thing can make no difference how much money you have. You ain't getting through it. Now, you got to look at the my heroes in the Bible, the widow's mite, and then the lady that took her last oil and grain and made the profit a meal, and she never ran out. And to see, this is the shoes I think we're going to be put into to see what we're really made of. You know, I think God is anxious to deliver us from our sins. But, you know, this ain't changing until we get national repentance. And, I do hear hints of that. So I say to people, there's nothing I can do. It's in God's hands. You know, it's kind of they're throwing up their hands. But that's a really good sign, because that's where it's at. We got, you know, you go back and, gosh, there's Comfort World and the electric company and stuff like that. But that's all going away. But you had enough smarts to move, you know. And, those jobs like that, you think you work for the state or big corporation, you're safe, but that is not a security at all. That's my take on it.
Yeah. That kind of goes along with one of my favorite saying that Paul says is, make sure you have a good ground wire. And it makes so much sense, because so much of the time when I'm working on automotive stuff, you know, and I learned this from a very good mechanic. Anytime I was dealing with an electrical issue, check your ground. If you think you got a good ground wire, put another one on there. Just make sure you got a good ground, because you can have so many problems when you don't have a good ground. And that's what, you know, we need to be grounded in Christ. And
absolutely crazy stuff happens. Crazy stuff. You can't even trigger a line of thought, you know. Like, how in the world? But it does, because they don't have that ground.
And it's intermittent, and it's hit or miss. And I had a guy call me yesterday, and he was fighting a Dodge truck. And he'd been through the electrical system, and he'd been, you know, through this and changed the computer on it, and just fighting it. And he's like, I got a ghost in it. And he's like, I don't know what the, and I said, did you put another ground wire on there? Did you? And no. And I knew you were going to say that, but you told me to, you know, check the ground wires. But I think I got a good ground. I'm like, you can't think that you got a good ground connection. You got to know it. You got to make sure that ground is good. Otherwise nothing works. And, I don't know, just one of those, it's interesting. And for anybody that probably hasn't played with electricity or electronics, it doesn't make that much sense. But if you played with any of that stuff at all, it makes all the sense in the world, don't it?
Well, you know, years ago, not too long ago, that we had stray voltage around here in dairy farms, and they'd turn something on, the cows would go crazy. But the deal was, there's so much electricity out there, it's getting hard to ground. But yeah, I don't hear much about it, but that was a big deal, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And they couldn't even ground it. The dairy farm was just north of a Catholic church, and on Saturday night when they'd have the church, his cows would just go crazy. Because they were being electrocuted because they couldn't ground it. But that's how a light bulb works. You've got to have a good ground. It's arcing at how positive. And a battery don't work without a ground.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
I guess that's what they're teaching up. We got to be grounded.
Yes. Absolutely. I had an interesting encounter yesterday. It was really interesting. Got a call from a farmer in Nebraska, and he'd been stuck down in he went into the hospital, and then they transferred him from place to place. He ended up in a hospital down in Longmont, Colorado, and then ended up in a rehab facility, and he'd been there for a couple weeks, and he was ready to go home. And basically told him, he's like, I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready to go home. And, well, we're going to see. Okay, well, we're not ready to discharge you.
He must have had good insurance.
No, he didn't have good insurance, but they made sure that they checked, and they said that he had plenty of money in the bank. So, he ended up spending $43,000 in 1 week with them there at the facility. And he said, I told him, I can't afford this. And he said, well, you can afford it. And he said, no, I'm not going to afford it. And he said, I'm going home. Oh, well, let me talk to the doctor. Well, nope, doctor comes in. No, I'm not ready to discharge you yet. So there was three people that he called, and he said, told them, basically, get me out of here. Come pick me up. I need a ride home. And they showed up and they talked to him, and the doctor said, oh no, we're not discharging him yet. So they left him there. And so he called me and said, hey, Jason, can you get me out of here? I said, yeah, I can. And he's like, well, they're saying that they're not discharging me. He's like, can I discharge myself? And I said, well, absolutely. I said, it's not like a prison or anything like that. I don't think, and I don't think you're breaking any laws. I said, did you sign anything to get in there? He said, no. I said, okay, all right. I said, I think you can just walk out of there. He's like, well, that's what I think too, but everybody's scared to. So, I said, well, okay. I'll head that direction. I could tell he was antsy to get out of there. And I mean, the guy's, almost 70 years old, and so we went down there, and I went into his room, and he had his stuff all packed up, and I took his bags out to the truck and then put him in the wheelchair and wheeled him to the truck, and we put him in the truck and we left. And it took him about 45 minutes to figure out that he was not there, and they called him on a cell phone, and he said, well, it was a social worker that called him at first and said, okay, Kurt, are you around here? And he's like, nope. And he's like, okay, can you come back here? Nope, that's not possible. Well, we need you to come back. You need to, sign some papers, and we need to discharge you before you leave. And he's like, okay. And they said, well, can you come back today? And he's like, no. He's like, I'll try to make it down there maybe the first part of next week or something like that. And, she got mad, or this guy got mad, and he started just fuming. And put him on the phone with another, with his boss, whoever she was, and she started talking to him. You have to come back. You have to do this and you have to do that, and you can't leave. And he's like, well, I'm pretty sure we just did leave. And she's like, I want to talk to whoever's driving. So she got on the phone with me, and then she started telling me that I needed to turn around and take him back there. And I'm like, he doesn't want to go there. I'm like, I'm just the guy that he called and wanted a ride from. That's it. And, he was laughing about it. He's like, well, I think she just missed her Mercedes payment. jokingly, but, I think there is a lot to it. I mean, this guy was healed up. They weren't doing anything for him. You know, he was getting basically, 30 minutes of treatment a day, which was, basically occupational therapy, and they charged him $43,000 for a week. And I mean, the extravagated. I mean, it's just outrageous what they're doing to people. And so this lady got on the phone. Anyway, she got on the phone and she said she was calling the cops on us, and she was going to do this and she was going to do that. And she just made all these kind of threats. And it was just, I mean, it was really obvious that we hadn't broken any laws. We hadn't done anything. And I tried to explain that to her. I mean, this guy, he's of sound mind. He is an adult over the age of 18. He made his decision to leave. I'm like, you can't hold him there. And I can't take him to some place that he doesn't want to go. That would be breaking the law. And but it was what they hated is we just didn't follow their rules. And that's what the deal was. That's what infuriated them so much is we did not comply. And it was
that's the whole system.
Exactly.
They only have authority over you whenever you comply to their authority.
Whenever you grant them that authority.
Once they get that, then they take more.
And that's what most people do, is they give them the authority over them. And that's the one thing that I think that, you know, a lot of Christians do, is they don't give God authority over them.
They'd rather give a doctor authority when they tell them that you only got 6 months to live. And, oh, well, that's what he said. And so, like, they heard from God, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's when these churches take a 501c3 status. They take the authority away from God and give it to the IRS. I mean, you know, what a bunch of crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
But are you guys thankful that you were able to get him out of there? You know, that's what I tell you. Good friends are worth a whole lot. Sometimes they might cost you a little money, and you know, you might get into a little mischief with them or whatever. You know. For the most part, it's good to have some folks that you can call.
Well, yeah, and it was one of those things. I was, and he said, you know, when I picked him up, he's like, I was praying you'd show up. He's like, I thought you would. You said you would, but he's like, I already had three people bail on me, so I didn't know if you were going to. And I'm like, hey, if I told you I was coming, I was coming. And that's it. But oh, he was praising the Lord when we were getting out of there, and it just, you know, and very, very grateful when, you know, by the time we got home, and you know, we had somebody lined up to stay and take care of him, and you know, it was it was good. But you know, in his freedom was restored, you know, temporarily there for a while, and he was just really happy with it. There's just, I mean, so many things going on in out there, but man, I'll tell you what, we have got some rain and we have got some cooler weather that came in. I mean, basically went from being 100 to 103 to, you know, high 90s, low 100s for, you know, quite some time, back down to the 50s, and raining for just, we've had rain for 48 hours straight. And
wow.
I'll tell you what, it makes going from 100 degrees down to 50, it makes it feel really chilly. I walked out the door yesterday and came back and got a sweatshirt, and my wife, she just looked at me, she's like, man, she's like, it's 50, but it sure feels cold, don't it? And I said, yeah, I said, it does. And it was definitely interesting. And this rain that we've been getting, I mean, it's been raining all across Nebraska. I know I talked to Tim. He couldn't be here this morning. His granddaughter had a birthday party, so they took off early this morning and went to his oldest granddaughter's birthday. She turned 3 today, so he wanted to spend that up in northern Nebraska. So he took off and went and did that. So I told him that we had everything covered here this morning. But, yeah, he said it's just been raining and raining and raining across there, and across Iowa also. It's just interesting. You getting it up there, Paul?
Yep. No, we've had plenty of rain, too. I mean, you know, just timely. You know, around us, as they've gotten drenched down by Detroit and stuff, they've just gotten down huge amounts, but we haven't really had that much. You know, we're in the 50s this morning also, from, you know, we were up in the 90s and stuff too, but it is culture shock. So So that calls our spectacles out.
Yeah.
I was sitting here chuckling, picturing you with your hoodie, because this is the guy that, you know, we get out and head to the house, and you walk out, and it's 30 degrees outside, and you're in a T-shirt or maybe a long-sleeve shirt. And so that's good for you.
You gotta get used to it, though. When it hits you. Well, and I was talking with a friend of mine, and he was over in Afghanistan flying helicopters, and he said that those guys that they had on the ground that were used to being in the 120 degrees, when they were medevacing them out, when it dropped down to 80, because the temperature dropped, just because they were treating them for hypothermia, at 80 degrees, just because of the change. Their body was so used and so adapted to being in the hotter weather, and 120 down to 80. I mean, that's a big drop, but just those changes. I mean, I noticed that with the animals. After those, the horses that we got just down the road, when it got cold, boy, they were ready. I mean, 50 degrees, they're usually loving that. But after being as hot as it has been, they were ready to get inside the barn.
We were just talking the other day how
my own self in the fall, you know, in the winter comes, you know, I'm in the cold the first 3 weeks of winter, and I'm going to be all year once you get used to it.
Yep.
You know, and you... I'd talked to a guy up in the Yukon. He was from down by Detroit. He moved up to the Yukon. He moved up there. He said the first year I thought I was going to die. And then he went back to the Windsor, and he slept with the windows open. He'd been back in the Yukon for quite a few years. He'd get used to it. So,
yeah, we were just having a conversation the other day down here of how bad it really is to have air conditioning, you know, especially like – getting in and out of vehicles whenever it's 100 degrees outside. You get in the vehicle and it's 75 in the vehicle, and, you know, you cool off a little bit and you get back out. Those temperature swings are hard on you, and it can sap the energy out of you.
Oh, yeah. I know, and that's what I do when I'm, you know, when you're in and out, when it's really hot out there, you're better off just, you know, rolling the windows down and not turning the air conditioning on at all, because it just hits you every time. It shocks your body.
I have run the air conditioner with my windows open, and that don't work too bad either.
No. Yeah. I got a good one in from Derek this morning. This is interesting. It says, good morning. Just an interesting encounter to mention that you might want to share. He said, I came out of a building yesterday and nearly bumped into someone. There was a kind of a sense of evil from the guy. He said, I thought about it for a moment. A few minutes later, I could see the little Edom Jew beanie on his head. And just like that, I realized there was negative aura from this guy. It was a descendant of Esau. Very interesting. Huh.
I think you got to develop that sense.
I think it is, too.
But you also better trust it whenever, you know, don't try to talk yourself out of it. Because there's some people that you just instantly don't like as soon as you see them.
Well,
I'm not saying to treat them bad, but just remember it.
And I think that there's a lot to that. And, you know, listening to that Holy Spirit and having that Holy Spirit is, you know, there's a lot of people that ask, they want more of that Holy Spirit, they want more of that Holy Spirit. But when they get it, they don't really use it, and they don't act upon it. And, you know, Josh, how many times have we... You know, we talked about it and laughed about it and cried about it at times, but, you know, you see somebody and it's like, you know, the Spirit, you know, witnesses to you that, you know, don't trust this person, or don't, you know, you should really be aware of this person. But then you see somebody and it's like, well, they do something nice and they do this or they do that, or something happens and all of a sudden, you know, well, they're not so bad. They're all right. They started making excuses for them.
Yeah. So we make a point to remind each other who it is that we're dealing with, because, it's easy, to be wooed or bought or whatever, but you gotta watch that. And, that's part of that discernment to me, is part of that rooting, part of that process of getting grounded. God will give it to you. You can't ignore it. You got to recognize it and then, you know, put that in, make that part of your shield.
Amen.
And people will notice. Now, I'll say, like, when you pray about, if they're no good and you pray about them, don't be surprised whenever they go looking at you and giving you the evil eyes and all. That's their job, and that's what they do. That's part of it. But that's, I know you and I have experienced that, particularly in other folks we know, you know, that you'll be praying about a situation or a person or whatever, and they'll turn around and look at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they can feel it. They can tell.
Well, and that discernment, and I really think that that's one of the things that when we pray and you know, when we do have that good ground wire and stuff, is, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, we don't have any evil people around us, you know, and we, oh, I'm trying to figure out a way to put it. There's going to be those that are going to be trying and trying and trying. If they can't get into your inner circles, they're going to try no matter what it takes, trying to get closer to you and closer to you all the time. Because they know that you're being standoffish, and then they know that your guard's up.
And if you let them in, they'll do their best to suck the life out of you. That's what they're there for. So don't let them do that.
They're better at it than we are. I mean, I used to go to this little restaurant, and these couple of these priests would come in there once in a while. They wouldn't take their eyes off me. You know, and there was another guy come in there from the mega church. He was in there. He just kept his eyes right on me. I mean, I know what the deal was. They were both evil. They were all evil.
Yes.
But they recognize it more than we do.
I just like to grin at them whenever they go staring at you like that.
Yeah. Will just said it in a good scripture. This is, and I think this fits really good. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wary as serpents and as innocent as doves. Matthew 10:6. Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. There you go.
He warned us. We just don't want to believe it. See, that Judeo-Christianity makes you so double-minded. You don't even know you got an enemy.
Well, they take that. They do a good job of taking that away, and they also do a good job of taking away of sin. And I mean, I think that's. I mean,
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, but they don't take it. Like, we give it.
We're
so dumb. We give it, but they can't take it.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Well, and I wanted to talk about, so I don't know, this week it was interesting with the White House posts on Twitter or X, you know, basically ban assault weapons. They came out full force saying that if Kamala gets in, that they are going to take away the guns. They said, well, we're not... You know, we're not going to go through Congress to do it. We're just going to do it. And I don't know if anybody did not read the article, Firearms and Freedom, Gun Control is People Control, in the Dragon Slayer newsletter. It was the first part. It's going to be, I was thinking it was going to try to fit it into two parts, but I think it's going to be a three-parter. But just really good information, good article from Jack Moore. And Jack Moore did a fantastic, I really like a lot of his material. Just timely, and like I've talked to a couple gentlemen here recently that, you know, we really believe that some of the stuff that he put down on paper and put in print is more timely today than it ever has been before. And it wasn't written for, you know, 30 years ago. It was written for today. And I'm one of those guys that believes that wholeheartedly. I look at some of the stuff that you know, Jack Moore and Earl Jones and Pastor Peters put together, and they put it down, and it is it was written for today, and it's more important than ever. And I tell you what, it was one of those interesting things, and it was a working of the Holy Spirit for sure, because I sure couldn't have put it together. I was working on the newsletter and had pretty much the whole newsletter put together. And then all of a sudden it was a shifting gears, and Richard came down here, and I said, well, we're going to do something different. We're going to do this. And he said, okay. So we started working on changing everything and got it changed around. And I just really wanted, I'm like, yeah. And it was one of those things that it's like, I've talked about gun control quite a bit, written, put several newsletters together on that, and just felt like it was what I needed to do. So said okay, And when you get that moving of the Holy Spirit, you gotta, you know, like we were just talking about it, you gotta do it, even if it doesn't make any sense or not. But was able to get that, put that together, get it out, get it mailed, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, that was the hot topic on the news. And you know, during that time, we didn't know that that Biden was stepping down, Kamala was stepping up, that they were going to run on a gun control platform. And that article that was in there was just perfect. So all the praise and all the glory goes to our Heavenly Father, because, you know, I really believe that it was working of the Holy Spirit, but it is really good information. I think that it's timely. And, you know, this week we had had some people that did get some hate mail out of it, but that's always good. And did get, but had several people that ordered multiple copies of it to pass out to other people. So that was good. So if you haven't read that Dragon Slayer newsletter, check it out. Good article in there. And if you're not on that mailing list to receive that that newsletter, just let us know. You can shoot me an email, jason@sfaw.org, and I'll get you added onto the list. We'll get it in the mail and get it sent out to you. You can also go to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and we got it posted up there as well. Derek writes in and says, Scamala, and I think that's a good one. I like that. I haven't heard that one before, but that is good. We'll go back to you, Josh.
You know, that's whenever something is Holy Spirit inspired, you know, it is perfect, and that's what it's supposed to be. Whenever you're submitting your will to God, a lot of times you don't even you don't recognize why. You just know that He told you to do it, and so you go do it. And that's, you know, it's trust. It's just it's what we do. And you know, there's plenty of stories in the Bible whenever, you know, great men and women were led to do something, and they did it, and they were obedient, and then God worked through that. And I believe that 100% with Pastor Peters and Jack Moore and, you know, these different ones that were doing His work and doing what He had for them to do. And that's no different. And I'm not, okay, I'll say, it's likened to the same thing of the Scripture. You know, it was Holy Spirit inspired. It was supposed to be there, and it is perfect, and it's a tool for us to be able to be better. You know, they invested their lives, you know, their time, which is the most precious thing that you have, in making our lives better. And we at least owe it to them to take what they've given us and apply it to our lives and start out a better place than where we were. You know, take that leg up that we have, that they made the sacrifice, you know, at least take advantage of it. I agree 100%. And every time you know, you've said it yourself, messages you've heard many times, you're sitting there and remastering them or, you know, tweaking on them, whatever, for work, and you end up pulling something different out of it than you ever have before.
Yep. Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's exciting to see. And it just, you know, it shows you, I mean, you know, how far, you know, we talk and we use our words and we say that, you know, our enemies play chess and we play checkers. And I've heard that, you know, said for years. But, you know, when you got the Holy Spirit and when God's working in your life, a lot of this stuff, I believe that, you know, He had this stuff put down. He had it. He was the instigator and He put it together long before. He was the one that was calling the shots. And, you know, it's exciting when you can see it happening right before your eyes.
When the Scripture doesn't change, the words are there, and they're the same words that have been there. You know, and those messages hadn't changed that Pastor Peters preached 30 years ago. It's the fact that you have changed, and you have moved to be able to see. You've developed better eyes to see and more obedience to be able to comply to whatever it is that He's wanting you to do, to put you in a better spot to serve and protect your family and your community and your state and country. I mean, it's all about the kingdom. It's not about us. It's so easy to get that twisted. I mean, life is not about us. And we know that, you know, if you freely give something, that you don't have to worry about losing it. You know, I mean, but whatever you hold on to the tightest, and won't give to God, that you're going to lose it. I mean, we've got to willingly give ourselves and put ourselves in a position where, hey, if something happens and we think it's bad, we don't understand, well, you know what? Trust in Him, trust in His Word, and I'm not going to fret over it. We're going to keep on going. And then, you know, I'm not saying it still doesn't stink at times or is hard, but it is exciting because you're like, okay, this looks like it's bad, but I'm waiting to see where the good's coming out of it, because you know it's coming at some point in time. We might not ever see it, but He's going to take it and work all things for good. We know that because He got His Word on it.
Yep.
Well, if you give anything and expect something in return, you didn't really give it. You know, it's that people are totally disrespectful, whatever the reason. You just got to be sure when you give something, there's no strings attached.
Yep.
Well, and there's a lot about a giving heart, too, and I think that one of the things that there's different kinds of people. There's people that are going to give away, you know, if they're going to give something away to somebody, it's going to be their old, wore out something that needs work and probably is, you know, maybe worth throwing in the trash, but, you know, they're going to give it away and act like they did you, you know, a great deal. You know, and then there's the people that, you know, give you something that's actually, you know, something that means something to them, and they want you to have it. I remember talking with Monty, Pastor Peter's son, and, you know, he was a very generous person, and, you know, he really believed that you freely give, you freely receive, and he had, you know, talked to me about that even as, you know, when I was really young, and I remember he gave me a belt buckle, and I said, well, you don't want it? And he's like, no. He's like, I want you to have it. And it was a trophy belt buckle that he had won at a rodeo, and he gave it to me as a, you know, as a little kid, and he wanted me to have it, and it was something that meant to him. And, you know, I was very grateful and very appreciative towards it, because it was something that he valued and he really liked, but he wanted me to have it. And, you know, I kept asking him, you know, why'd you give it to me? Why'd you, you know, do you want me to give it back? And it was, no, he wanted me to have it, but it was something that meant something to him. And and that's the kind of person that he was. And he said, you know, he said, God always, you know, every time that I give something, he's like, there's people that, you know, give something that's just junk away to somebody. And he's like, it doesn't mean anything to me, and it didn't mean anything to them. You know, he said, and we talked about it, but he was very grateful. And he said that, you know, he said, there's every time I give something away, God gives me something back. And there's a lot to that.
And this is the pot to the kettle, because I still don't have it perfected, but I'll say that, you know, when somebody wants to give you something, don't disrespect them by not taking it. I got a lot, and I don't really need anything, and I'm thankful. You know, so I try not. I'm not real comfortable taking gifts, but if somebody wants to bless you with giving you something, be thankful for it and take that blessing, because they know this could be, when they're going to get the blessing of seeing you enjoy it. You know,
right?
Know that you got it. I've bunged that up a time or two, but.
Yes,
it is a two-way street, because I know people that won't take no gifts, and it's just out of pride, you know, and they got this wall up and stuff like that, too. But, you know, I said, you know, there's times I don't need nothing, but I said, are you sure? And they said, yeah, and then I do it, because I just ain't arguing with them, you know, because you don't always know from what's coming from the other side either.
Well, and a lot of times when somebody's trying to bless somebody and you don't allow them to it, you could rob them of the blessing that they are and the blessing that they're going to receive for doing that. And,
yeah,
you know.
I got scolded for that one time. we had went out for supper and with Pastor Peters and all, and I wanted to buy him dinner, you know. And anyway, so I got with the waitress or whatever, and she brought me the ticket over there, and I was going to buy them, you know, the little group that we were with, dinner. And Pastor looked at me and said, are you trying to steal from me? And I said, no, sir, I'm trying to buy you. He said, that's my blessing to be able to, you know, buy supper and bless y'all. He said, you going to take it from me? No, sir, I'm not trying to. Anyway, we took that ticket, you know, and I got a little bit scolded, but and he meant it, you know, like it was going to be a couple hundred bucks, whatever, you know, but I wanted to do it for him, but that was his. He wanted, you know. And so hey, he was the one in authority, and
we
backed up.
We had a, you know, years ago. We had a friend of ours that was an IT guy for us and worked for us in the ministry. And it was his birthday, and we went down, took him down to a steak restaurant here in Fort Collins, and me and Pastor Peters were sitting across from each other, and check came up, and I reached up, and I grabbed it, and instead of Pete went for it, but he didn't get it, so he grabbed my shirt in the right there in the front and pulled back, and like he was going to hit me. And we were both smiling and everything. And I said, oh, you wouldn't. And I knew as soon as I said that, oh, I knew what was coming. And he hit me, and I reached over and grabbed his shirt. And as I was going backwards, I pulled him over the table. And, we made a ruckus in there. And it cost some money. And we got politely asked if we would not come back. And so we didn't go back there for a couple of years, but it was pretty funny, and it was a lot of fun, and we laughed and laughed and laughed and about it, and it was a good time. But there was no seriousness about it, but it was one of those things that just happened between two guys, and it was funny. He was one of a kind, that's for sure.
Through the way the mold on that one.
Yes. Derek says, this is a good scripture too. It's at Luke 8:10. God says, not everyone is given insight, only some. Luke 8:10 says, quote, and he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Yeah, really good point. I think that ties in exactly with what we were talking about. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of that that is taking place, and like, you know, we talk about the goats and the sheep, you know, being separated. A friend of mine pointed out this week something that was really interesting, and you know, I've been thinking, it's like, you know, you watch the news and you see this stuff that's taking place, and it's definitely, there's just this more and more division between the two sides and the two parties, but it's really becoming obvious that it is just it's also the separation of the wheat and the tares. And we know that that happens before harvest season. And I think that is exactly what is taking place. You see so much of this stuff that's happening. And, you know, some of the people that I've talked to and I agree with, it's like, how is it, however this election thing turns out, they're setting it up to be a bad deal for everybody. I mean, I'm not saying us, the remnant, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to, you know, say that it's going to be bad for everybody. It's going to be, things are going to get quite interesting, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, they're presenting it as it's going to be bad regardless. Like, they want that, you know, that negativity. And I guess getting a little more like Paul over the years, I've had kind of enough of hearing that conversation, and when people around me, you know, Trump this and Kamala that and whatever, and like, hey, there's nothing that's going to change if either one of them, you know, it's just still the same system, it's the same, you know, players. It's not God's system, and you know, we got to recognize that. Is it better to have godly Christian leaders in place? Am I saying that Trump is? 100% it is. We're still playing the same game, you know, and it's not. It's not where we need to have our faith at.
Well, you know, exactly, is what we need to do is, like, you know, and Paul says it all the time, we need to have repentance, and we need to have national repentance, and that's the desire. But, you know, we need people to wake up. I mean, you can't have repentance if nobody's sinning. So people got to identify what sin is, and, you know, people need to learn what, you know, transgression of the law is. But I believe that as things, you know, get tougher you know, that God has a rod of indignation, and he can use our enemies as that rod of indignation and bring people to a place where, you know, it's they cry out to God. They're not going to have anybody else to cry out to. They're not going to have any other place to go. And it's going to be, I believe that hard times, difficult times are going to change people's hearts and bring their, you know, hearts and their minds back to Christ.
I think it's in progress.
It makes us better. Agreed.
No, it's in progress.
It is.
Because I see small things of people changing their mind about where they're going to turn, you know, because their government is actually failing them. It's so corrupt and everything like that, and it's failing them. And people with any eyes to see can see it coming. You know, look at that book that Tommy, you know, he had, what's his name, Joel Statlin, had these rich people come and ask him, what should we do? Because they could see it coming, and they had money. You know, there's people that with any elemental sense can see it coming. And, you know, this ain't fixable. You know, I talked to this guy yesterday. You know, he's a big Fox News boy. He says, it's the only one that's good. I says, every time you watch it, you come away agitated, worse than you were. He says, they're getting their job done, and that's exactly what they're there for. You know, and he said, well, we got to get done. I said, this country will not be fixed from the top down. It'll be fixed from the bottom up. When people change, then they will. I said, the American people got the government they deserve. He says, you're right. And we do. We have a government that we deserve, and it's failing us.
One of the first things we got to fix, you know, in that change is our words. We speak negatively. We speak things into existence, and you got to watch what you say. I mean, like, you really need to watch what you say because words matter. Pastor Peter's got a whole series on it, and it's something that, you know, we – us, the group here that's talking, you know, pick on each other and correct each other, and because it's just second nature to say things, but we shouldn't say things that are not good for us, because your body hears you, your conscience hears you, your family hears you, and whenever you say that we can't do something, no, there's nothing we can do, and it's all going to this and that, and when you speak those things, it carries weight, and it affects you, and the first thing you need to do is change the way you think and change the way you talk.
Well, years ago, the thing I did in Bronson, Where's the Joy? And that was for myself because I was so negative, you couldn't stand to be around me. And Where's the Joy? And like I said last week, God sets on the heavens and life. And that, we got to have a whole different perspective on it. And I don't think we're all the way done yet either, just like you're talking about, Josh. We got to watch what our words are and what we say. Always said you got to leave them a little hole. Like I say, keep your chin up, could be worse, you know. And but you know, you got to leave them with some hope. It's the gospel. You know, I read the book of Acts here just recently, and two, you know, and they put old Paul under persecution. They, you know, basically the Jews fought him the whole way through, and he was actually preaching to them to repent, and some did, some didn't. But toward the end there, they were getting them under the old ones wanted the law. Well, he was trying to keep the law with grace. He wasn't eliminating the law, but he was also teaching the grace that comes with the blood of Jesus Christ. And some people just can't handle it to this day. You know,
this is not a valid menu option.
That whole balance of law and grace, you know, that's what you guys like surfing. You got to stay in that little hollow. Law's not done away with, and grace is not done away with.
Yeah, good point.
When you have all the effects of the law on us, you know, yeah, to keep the law, that's the first thing you do. But then you think you're arrogant, too. You know, I do it, you don't, you know, and you get over that, too. You learn mercy when you look in the mirror and really analyze yourself. And that's kind of what Josh has been talking about the whole time. We got to look at what our words are and be careful. The Bible says, listen much and speak little. You know, I knew a few people in my life, when they spoke, you listened because it was accurate, and they didn't speak much.
Yeah, those are the people you like it when they do open their mouth.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta make sure it counts.
And there's a toolbox that goes along with everything we're talking about. You know, and there's ways to pray, and there's anointing oil, and you know, there's a whole lot that helps. Do you have to have any of it? No, I'm not saying that you do, but you gotta search out the word and kind of find them. And that's the thing is, you know, thankfully we've got an easy button if we'll just take it, you know, because the men that came before us already plowed that ground and they got those stumps out for us. You know, we just got to take advantage of it and use it and grow.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, and I was talking with Me and my oldest boy, Justice, we spent quite a bit of time in the truck recently on a couple of road trips, and talking to him about just the fact, and it was praying for wisdom, praying for knowledge, praying for understanding, praying it daily, and asking for wisdom, and I think that is so important right now, and I several of the people that I look up to that I really believe were wise men, that was some of their advice, is ask for wisdom all the time. Ask for wisdom, ask for guidance, ask for direction. And they all of them told me that exact same thing. And it's, the Bible says if we ask for it, that he'll give it to us. So if, why not? It seems pretty simple. And want to encourage people to do that. People, there's a lot of people that are asking right now, they're asking the question, what do I do and what do I, how do I prepare or this or that? Well, everybody's in a different situation. Everybody's in a unique situation where, you got different neighbors, you're in a different neighborhood, you're in a different state, you're in a different climate. And that's my advice, and that's what I would encourage people to do is, pray for wisdom, pray for wisdom, pray for knowledge, pray for understanding, and then when you get it, use it.
And be thankful for it and change, don't just get something and take it and then go right back to your old ways. I mean, it's hard. I'm saying it because I've done it and I've lived it and I've gone back and lost things and had to fight for it again. But it's a lot. It takes a lot less effort if you just stay with what you got than whenever you slide back and got to climb back up that hill again.
Yes, I agree. Well, we're down to a few minutes. Paul, you got any closing thoughts for us this morning?
Well, I was just thinking how Jesus, he didn't always do it. He tipped over some money table and put some people in their place. But anytime he had someone with a heart, he asked a question. You got to put the burden of proof back on them and make them think. Because everybody wants a leader, someone to do that. And we do need those kind of people. And that's what the elders of the church are supposed to be, to give that wisdom. Because look at how we got our wisdom. It was doing a lot of wrong things, But that's where the mercy comes in. You have to ask questions and be compassionate with people that actually ask. There's people that need to be put in their place, that don't do any good for the most part. Paul, nobody got anywhere. They had a priest and they were persecuted, and Jesus said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. So that's part of our deal.
Amen. Josh, closing thoughts?
Also, be teachable. We don't have it all figured out, no matter how much we want to believe that we do. And so, we've all experienced it. Whenever you go teach somebody something, you go to study, and then a lot of times you learn more than you end up teaching, listen to the words that come out of your own mouth and be listening for God. Be teachable and be flexible so that you can hear and you can grow.
Amen. And gentlemen, I want to close out with a word of prayer, and this is Psalms 83. Would you join me in prayer? Oh God, do not remain quiet, and do not be silent, and oh God, do not be still. Behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, come, let us wipe them out as a nation, so that the name of Israel will no longer be remembered. For they have conspired together with one mind. They make a covenant against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gabel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistine with inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. Deal with them as with Midian and Sisera, Jabin and at the river of Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor, who became like dung of the ground. Make their nobles like Orb and Zeb, and all their leaders like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us possess for ourselves the pasture of God. My God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, like the fire that burns the forest, and like the flame that sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your heavy gale, and terrify them with your storm. Fill their faces with dishonor, so that they will seek your name. Lord, may they be ashamed and dismayed forever. and may they be humiliated and perish, so that they will know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, gentlemen.
Everything you wanted to know about gun control and preachers were afraid to tell you is the eyebrow-raising title of a hard-hitting essay now available in pamphlet format for a $6 offering U.S. funds, and for a lot less when ordered in bulk. It's an excellent tool to place in the hands of all true Christian men, especially those in uniform. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, quote, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." End quote. So send a $6 offering U.S. funds and just ask for gun control. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Once again, that's Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, USA. And thank you very much for your continuing prayers and support.